finish up looking at Tychicus, the faithful servant of the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have to gather together once again around the Word of God. We pray that you would teach us. Lord, help us to make application from the godly example left behind by this man named Tychicus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we looked at the character of Tychicus. We noted that he was the beloved brother, he was a faithful servant of the Apostle Paul, and he was a fellow slave, fellow servant in the Lord with the Apostle Paul. And we noted that throughout Paul's ministry, he was sent on various missions, various ministries, but we never seemed to get around to looking at what it was Paul sent him to do and what Paul sent him to say. So that's what we want to look at tonight. The first thing we want to note about the mission of Tychicus, found in verse 7, is that he was sent to declare unto the Colossians all Paul's state. Or literally, all the things concerning me. So Paul sent Tychicus to the church at Colossae to let them know some very personal things about his own estate, his own welfare, his own condition. And what he meant by that was Paul was in prison. Paul had a lot of personal needs. He had burdens on his heart. And unfortunately, the Apostle Paul didn't record his estate for us. He sent along the epistle to the Colossians. He also sent along the epistle to the Ephesians. But he didn't tell us in those letters what he told Tychicus to tell the Colossians. Evidently, there was some information that Paul orally communicated to Tychicus, and he was to orally communicate to the believers in Colossae. And perhaps that was because Paul knew that this book, Colossians, was inspired. And the book of Ephesians, he knew, was inspired as well. And he also knew that the audience for these epistles would be much wider than just the church at Colossae. For example, if you're in Colossians 4, look in verse 16 for a moment. In this epistle, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Don't you wish you had that letter? There's a letter that Paul wrote to a church that became very worldly and carnal in their thinking over time, by the time John addressed them through the book of the Revelation. But Paul wrote them a letter too. It was not part of Scripture. It was never intended by God to be part of Scripture. Not everything the apostle wrote was Holy Scripture, only those things that God has preserved for us in the Bible. But Paul sent along this letter to the Colossian believers, but he also knew that it was going to be read elsewhere. He knew, in fact, he commanded Tychicus to have this read in the church at Laodicea. And perhaps in Ephesus, and perhaps in some other churches in Asia Minor and along the way as well. So Paul had, for this epistle, a wider audience than just the church at Colossae. So evidently, Paul also sent with Tychicus some personal information, all the things concerning himself, how he was doing in jail. Some things that might be of interest to the Colossians that may not necessarily be of interest to the Ephesians or to the Laodiceans. They'd be of interest to me. I'd like to know all the things concerning Paul and the things that he was going through and the difficulties and the burdens on his heart. And so he sent Tychicus with that purpose. And of course, this was not just to elicit sympathy on the part of the Colossians for Paul. But rather, Paul wanted the believers to know all the things concerning him so that they could intelligently pray for him. Paul needed folks to pray for him, and therefore they needed to know all the things about him. And you know, that's one of the reasons why prayer meeting is so important. That's where folks come together and we get to know all the things concerning Fred and all the things concerning Alice and all the issues that they're going through. And we can pray as a body collectively for all the things of individuals in the assembly. And Paul needed that. So he sent Tychicus along for that purpose. So Paul wanted them to know all the things concerning himself. And notice also in verse 8, he says, and this is, at least in the King James, it reads this way. He says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." So Paul wanted to know the condition or all the things concerning the Colossians as well. He wanted Tychicus to learn what was going on in that assembly, evidently so he could report it back to the apostle. Now think of this, even in prison, the Apostle Paul sought to edify the churches. What was going on at the church of Colossae and the church at Ephesus and the church of Laodicea and all the other churches that Paul was familiar with in the first century, all of that was a burden on his heart. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 for a moment, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and in verse 28, Paul tells us what the real burden of his heart was. After listing for us all the sufferings that he went through as an apostle, his beatings, his imprisonments, near death, often shipwrecked, tossed overboard, cast over a wall, perils in the city and in the wilderness, and all kinds of physical danger and suffering that the Apostle Paul endured. But notice, it seems in verse 28 that that which was most pressing upon him was what he refers to here as the care of all the churches. And that word for care is the word that's translated in the book of Philippians, where Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing." The word literally means to be divided, to be torn, to be anxious, to be full of worry. And so Paul had a lot of concerns. He had concerns on his heart that were really burdens that he had for the welfare of all the churches. This is the same word that Peter used when he said, "Cast all your burdens, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you." So while the body of the Apostle Paul was confined in prison, his heart went out everywhere. His heart went to the believers in Philippi. His heart went to the believers in Colossae. His heart went out to Philemon. His heart went out to believers all around the known world. Paul was in jail for preaching the gospel. Yet, while in jail, he continues to be engaged in promoting and spreading the gospel and edifying the churches that have recently been established. He wanted to know their estate. And he had a burden on his heart for their estate. For example, if you remember back to chapter 2, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Paul says in verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them that are in Laodicea." Paul was sending this letter to Colossae and Laodicea. And here Paul says that he had great conflict. Literally, the Greek word is agonizomai for conflict, and it's the word that sounds so much like our word agony. Paul had great agony of heart. He had a striving inside of going on inside of his heart for the believers in Colossae. There was a great conflict, a battle raging in Paul's mind and in his heart. He was unsettled as to how they would do. And he wanted so desperately to get out and minister to these folks, but his body was imprisoned. Look in Colossians 2 and verse 8. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Paul agonized over the spiritual condition of the believers in Colossae. He knew all about that pre-Gnostic cult that had infiltrated the region and was corrupting churches. By a mixture of Greek philosophy and Jewish ritualism. And Paul was very concerned over their well-being. He had lots of burdens and cares on his heart. Many concerns for the believers in Colossae. How many had defected to the false teachers? How was this affecting other churches in the area? How widespread was this infection in the body of Christ? Were the believers discouraged? Was their morale low? And so Paul wanted to know their estate. That's why he sent Tychicus, so that Paul would be able to intelligently pray for them as well as they for him. Now turn back to Colossians chapter 4. And at the end of verse 8, here's another reason why Paul sent Tychicus to them: to comfort your hearts. They were experiencing trials of their own. Now certainly Paul was. He was in prison. And yet in prison, Paul wanted to minister to them. The false teachers had stolen away some disciples after themselves. And you know what happens? In any assembly, if false teachers come in and steal away some members and cause them to become disciples after the false teachers, that divides families. Maybe the husband got involved in that and the wife stayed loyal to Christ. Or maybe the parents stayed loyal to Christ and the children were drawn away to this false cult. This caused much friction. This caused families to be divided. There would be many hurt feelings and discipline issues that would need to be carried out. Perhaps the churches were being polarized over this. Paul knew that. He knew the effects of sin and false doctrine when it infiltrates into a church. And therefore, in prison, Paul sent Tychicus to minister to them to comfort their hearts. To encourage them to wait out the storm. Yes, there was a battle raging in the local church, but just wait out the storm and let the dust settle, and God would take care of matters, and those that really meant business with Christ would still be there when all the dust settled. So he sent Tychicus to comfort their hearts. Remember what he said earlier? That your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. That's what Paul wanted for these folks. And you know, I think I see in this section a great secret for living the Christian life and dealing with the struggles that go on in our own hearts. Paul did not dote over his personal problems. Even though, humanly speaking, I suppose you could say he had every reason to, after you read the long list of struggles and trials and afflictions that he went through, and in fact, he's now in prison, wrongly imprisoned. But instead of doting over his own problems and his own issues, rather he sends Tychicus to minister to others. You see, Paul was dead to himself. The old nature loves to think about me, myself, and I. The old nature loves to dote over my own circumstances, my own health issues, my own trials, my own finances, my own troubles. But the Bible tells us that we're to reckon that old man to be dead. And the man who thinks only of himself and his own battles and his own struggles is dead. And when we reckon ourselves to be dead and by faith keep that old man on the cross, then that new creature in Christ is set free to function as God designed, and that new creature is able to see things as the old man never could from heavenly's perspective. And that new man has a new mind, the mind of Christ. That new man is not looking to things of himself, but every man also on the things of others. This was the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was the mindset of the Apostle Paul. He sought things above. He saw life from heaven's perspective. And when he looked down from his heavenly position, he had been dwelling, resting in the Lord, dwelling in heavenly places, and he looked down upon things that were going on in the earth, and what he saw was this, that even though his body was in prison in Rome, the condition of the churches in Asia Minor was much more important than his own imprisonment. And so he wrote a letter, and he sent it through the hands of Tychicus to comfort these folks. Oh, for a heart like the Apostle Paul, and to have that heavenly perspective. Aren't we just the opposite? We have trials and struggles, and we sit around complaining because nobody's paying any attention to me. And we hold little pity parties, and we look at others as being negligent of their duties because nobody's ministering to me. And we grumble about others, and we think that they don't really care about me. That's not the mind Paul demonstrated. In prison, as he suffered, he was thinking about believers elsewhere. And he sent Tychicus to comfort their hearts, because Paul was concerned about their spiritual well-being. You know, this mindset that Paul demonstrated ought to be the norm for believers. And it's really nothing other than the risen Lord Jesus Christ caring for members of His body through other members of His body. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is the message Paul wanted the Colossian believers to hear, and he sent it through the hands of Tychicus. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, this was the burden of Paul's heart. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now think of this. The Apostle Paul had been beaten, he had been imprisoned, and now he sits confined in a jail in Rome, and the real concern of his heart is that other people are feeling bad for him. And he doesn't want them in Colossae or in Ephesus, remember these were circular letters to be read in both churches, he didn't want them to be faint-hearted as they thought about how much Paul was suffering. So he was not thinking of himself. Paul knew that when one member suffers, all the members of the body suffer with it. Paul knew that he was in prison for preaching Christ, and that must have caused sorrow to those that loved the Lord, to know that he was in jail for doing perhaps what they should have been, but maybe some of them were afraid to do. And so Paul sends Tychicus with this lesson, with this message of great comfort to the believers in Asia Minor. Paul wanted to comfort them in all their worries. And you know what? The Apostle Paul sat in that prison cell in Rome, resting comfortably in the Lord, seeking things above. He had his mind filled with the Word of God. The heart was overflowing with the things of Christ. And Paul was perfectly content. He knew this is where God wanted him to be at that moment in his life, and he was content. He learned to be content in whatever state he was in. And in fact, in Colossians chapter 1, he said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. Now back in Colossians 4, notice in verse 8, Colossians 4 and verse 8, Paul says of Tychicus, whom I have sent unto you. Now who was Tychicus? Why, he was Paul's private servant. He ministered to all of Paul's needs while Paul was in prison in Rome. And remember, here was a Jew coming from Israel all the way over to Rome. He didn't have friends and family in Rome. But he did have a loyal friend named Tychicus. Tychicus, who came to minister to Paul daily in prison, perhaps bringing him warm clothes, as we mentioned this morning, or food or some other such thing. Here was a man that Paul really needed. Paul had a lot of personal needs, and Tychicus was the man that God provided to take care of Paul's personal needs. And now what do we see Paul doing? He sends his own servant away to minister to the churches at Colossae in Ephesus. And it's because Paul saw life from heaven's vantage point. Paul saw their spiritual condition as far more dangerous and far more important to be taken care of than his position in that prison cell in Rome. And so the few faithful servants that Paul had, Tychicus, along with Onesimus, a new friend recently come to know Christ, he sends them on a long journey to visit and minister to believers in other cities. And that meant they would no longer be in Rome to take care of Paul's needs. This was a great sacrifice for the Apostle Paul. But remember, he was dead. He wasn't living for himself. He was dead unto himself, but alive unto God. He wasn't thinking of his own welfare, but the welfare of others. Paul denied himself in order to minister to others. And so he took the few servants that he had, the few men that were there with him, that stood by his side and were able to minister to him, Paul gave those men away to minister to others. I suppose a lesser man might have reasoned that, well, I have so many problems. I have so many needs myself. I can't be concerned about believers hundreds of miles away. I need to take care of me, myself, and I. In fact, they ought to be coming to my aid from Colossae, not me sending someone from Rome. But Paul didn't think like the world. Christ dwelt in him, and the Apostle Paul manifested Christ to others. And one of the wonderful ways that Paul was able to manifest the love and compassion of Christ to the believers in Colossae was through a vehicle named Tychicus. Paul sent his personal deacon, his personal servant, to the church at Colossae to minister to them. And I'm sure it was probably hard for Tychicus to leave Paul. This was going to be a long, difficult, dangerous journey for him. But he submitted to God's will and he went. And so we read in Colossians chapter 4 of Tychicus, a delivery boy. Basically, a servant. A name that history is not going to remember very well. Everybody knows the Apostle Paul, but history will not long remember a man like Tychicus. I doubt if you'll find him in any book of ancient history. But I'd like for us to close with a passage in Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Here the apostle says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." This is a pretty good description of Tychicus. He ministered in the name of Christ to the apostle Paul. And here the author of Hebrews tells us that God will never forget what he did. History won't remember him, but God will never forget him. One man sort of made this analogy as he looked at the passage in Colossae. Has anybody ever heard of Charles Lindbergh? You've heard of Charles Lindbergh. What was his mechanic's name? It was an important man to Charles Lindbergh. Everybody knows Paul's name, but not everybody remembers the name of Tychicus. But Paul did, and the Lord will never forget him. Tychicus lived his life. His life came and it went, and so will ours. Tychicus ended his life as a beloved brother, a faithful servant, a faithful minister to Paul, and a fellow servant to the Lord. And may that be true of each one of us here. We're probably not going to make it in the Hall of Fame. with the Apostle Paul's or a Spurgeon, or we saw in our bulletin this morning, a Henry Morris. Tychicus just doesn't have a name that rings with everybody. But the Lord will never forget the work that he did. And who knows how different the church age would have been if he had never delivered the package of parchments that Paul put in his knapsack that day when he left Rome. We got from that Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. Thank God for faithful servants. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we can learn from many servants who work behind the scenes, who enabled other men such as Paul and the other apostles to function and carry on their ministries. Lord, we pray that you'd help each of us here to be faithful servants like Tychicus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.